Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast. Steve Caldwell here. Let's start by recognizing someone who's doing something good.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you.
Today I've got to tell you what really makes me feel so good is when people join me on a live webinar and they comment how much they learned during the live webinar. And I just have so much fun doing those things because I try to give plenty of content that you can actually take actions from immediately the next day when you go to work. So if you haven't signed up for one of my live webinars, there's a link underneath the post here in the podcast, and you can easily just click there and go and register for one of our next webinars. I hope that you'll join me. I look forward to providing great content for you, and it just makes me feel good. Hello and welcome everyone. This is Steve Caldwell. Welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast. I am really thrilled today to introduce to you a very, very special woman, and I can't wait to talk with her myself and for all of us to learn from her wisdom. Our guest today is Brigadier General retired Maureen LaBeouf. Now, Maureen is also a doctor. She has her PhD, and her expertise has been in leadership development and wellness. Now, I just got to tell you a little bit about this impressive lady. She spent 28 years in the U.S. Army, where she held various staff and leadership positions, and we'll talk about those as we go. But she also flew UH-1 helicopters, and it's rare to have that. And congratulations on that, Maureen. I mean, that's really freaking impressive.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. It was a great opportunity for me.
Well, I have a private pilot's license, but I've never flown a helicopter. I've ridden in them, but I love it, and just really impressive. So we'll talk more about that as we go, but I want you to know that Maureen has served as co-editor of Fit and Active, the West Point Physical Development Program. She's written articles such as Developing a Philosophy of Leadership, published in the Military Review. Her awards include the Army's Distinguished Service Medal and the Mary Ellen Sun Sewell Award for demonstrating outstanding performance in graduate studies at the Department of Sports Studies at the University of Georgia. In addition to these things, she's been a professor and head of the Department of Physical Education from 1997 until her retirement in 2004. And she actually held the title of Master of the Sword, which was the first woman to chair a department chair at the U.S. Military Academy since it was founded in 1802. And I'm going to ask her a little bit about that. She recently served as the former executive director of the Fagan Leadership Program at Duke Sports Medicine and was also a former trustee at St. Bonaventure University. So that should give you guys an idea of what a very special lady we have to talk to today. Maureen, welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience today.
Well, it's our pleasure, and I like to ask everybody, if you don't mind, just share a little bit about what cool thing or fun thing have you been working on lately?
Well, this doesn't have anything to do with leadership development, but I am one of nine children. In fact, I'm the middle child, which is a whole other story.
Wow.
And we grew up in Western New York, actually right where St. Bonaventure University is located, my alma mater. Our dad spent 52 years on the faculty at St. Bonaventure, and all nine of us are grads. But Two of my sisters now live down here in North Carolina over in the Charlotte area.
Mm-hmm.
And what we started doing this year is to get to know our adopted state a bit better. Each month we are getting together and doing what we call our sister trip. And so one of us is responsible for planning the trip. We spend a day or two, and we are touring and learning more about our state here in North Carolina.
How wonderful.
It is. It's a fun thing to do, and we get together, and we're having just a fun time doing this. And probably going off the beaten path at points, and I'm in charge of the next trip, which is next week, and we're going to go and visit one of only two covered bridges here in North Carolina.
Well, wonderful. I love it. My wife Cindy and I really, we love to explore and travel and visit, and we just finished a trip ourselves in the Northwest. We actually took 2 weeks. We flew into Newport Beach, rented a vehicle, and drove up Highway 1, eventually landing in Seattle, Washington, where we flew back home. But we took a lot of detours along the way. We wound up even spending part of our time in Idaho. So we had a great time too. So congratulations, that's awesome, and I'm glad you're doing that. And it demonstrates to all of us that we all need a little bit of time to enjoy life, don't we?
Absolutely, and I think it's important to slow down.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
and that's what that's making us do. And we try not to drive above the speed limit, so we are slowing down.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's dive off a little bit into what made you. And I know that, I mean, look, it is incredible to have been the chair department at the U.S. Military Academy. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what is the Master of the Sword for those of us that really don't know?
Well, the Master of the Sword is a title that goes with the position when you're the director and head of the Department of Physical Education at the United States Military Academy at West Point. And West Point had the first full-time physical educator in higher education in the country, and he was a sword master. And so that's where the title comes from. It's not a gender title, because people would say, oh, it's the mistress of the sword. It's like, no, the title is Master of the Sword. So that's where the title comes from. I always say to people, I did not make it up. And I think it is the coolest title in the United States Army, and probably the world.
I think that is awesome. And what a great story. And, you know, it just, as you were saying that, I couldn't help but think how awesome it is for you to have that honor and that title. So why don't you share with us, how do you go from flying helicopters and you're leading, you're stepping out, You're doing things that at the time I know were not considered traditional. So tell us a little bit about what makes you, and really what were you striving to achieve in your leadership career as you took on these various positions?
Well, you know, Steve, I really think it all goes back to my family.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I grew up and the parents that we had. And I honestly don't ever remember being told I couldn't do something because I was a girl. And the other thing is, I was at St. Mary's School in Olean, New York, Catholic school, fourth grade. The mother superior came down to Buffalo, or from Buffalo, to visit our school. A big deal, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never forget, she had visited our class. She was getting ready to leave the room, and as she started out toward the door, she stopped and she faced the classroom and she said, "How many of you in here would like to be president of the United States someday?" Well, all the boys raised their hands, and so did I. And my classmates sitting around me started laughing. And Mother Superior pointed to me and she said, "What's your name?" And of course I stood up and I said, "Mother Superior, my name is Maureen Keenan." And she said, "Don't laugh at Maureen. Someday there will be a woman president."
How awesome.
And I will tell you, as a little, probably 9 or 10 year old girl, I remember walking around the rest of the day thinking, you know, like, boom, look at me, you know, Mother Superior. She totally validated me as a girl who could lead. And in reflecting, she was a leader in her order. She was leading the nuns in her order in that part of New York State. And so I call these moments that matter, and we have these little moments in our lives. And that was one of those moments for me that when I look back was powerful. And then I had, and for whatever reason, whenever I was on a team or I was a cheerleader in high school, I always wanted to be the captain of the team. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to be in charge. Mm-hmm. And fortunately for me, a lot of times I was picked, and I think I did a pretty good job when I was a team captain. And then in college, I was a swimmer, and my senior year, again, I was picked to be the team captain, which, you know, it's always an honor when you've got peers that pick you to lead them. Mm-hmm. And that was never lost on me. So I always thought that having those opportunities growing up were instrumental in what I went on to do in the Army and in the fact that I became a leader. And I was in a program going into the Army. It was the way the Army got women officers before they had ROTC or West Point. And it was called the College Junior Program, had a 2-year commitment. And I thought, I'll go in, I'll serve for 2 years. And my undergraduate degree was in education. I thought, then I'll teach. And it was probably about the 18-month mark in my Army career. And I actually had applied for a job. I was stationed at Fort Eustis, Virginia. I had applied for a teaching job. I had an interview. And at the time, I was a platoon leader, which is the first level of leading in the Army. And I sat there and I thought, I really kind of like this Army thing. And I like leading soldiers. And so I canceled the interview, and 28 years later I got out. But it's just, and the other thing that's interesting, and I am dual military, so when I was 28, I married my husband, who also served a full career in the Army. And so that was, there were not a lot of dual military senior to us, and so we had to, you know, navigate, negotiate all of that. And then we had children. So, and we did not know anybody senior to us in the Army who was dual military who had children.
Wow.
And so that was, you know, I think back on it, it was quite interesting and at times, as you can imagine, very challenging. When we were working on our degrees to go teach at West Point, my first semester of graduate school to get my master's degree was my husband's last semester getting his master's degree. And our son was born in July. I started graduate school in January, and my husband went to West Point in July. And so we celebrated our son's first birthday. The next day, Joe went to West Point, and I was what we call a geographical single parent.
Wow.
And so I was alone with a 1-year-old working on my master's degree. And so that was at times high excitement. And I look back on it, at times I honestly don't know how I did that, but I had tremendous support from my family. And my mom and dad were educators and extremely supportive. One of my sisters came and spent several weeks with me during the summer to help me out with that. But it was a tough and challenging thing to do at times.
Absolutely.
Especially with the kids.
No question. It had to have been. You know, you just mentioned something that I'd like to explore with you a little bit, and because I think it's so important for those that are in leadership positions today. Your exact quote was "moments that matter." And you, what a great example that you gave on moments that mattered in your life. But I also believe that we as leaders really owe it to people to make those moments that matter. In other words, don't just let them happen by accident. I don't think that the nun came back and said what she did unless she was intending to create an inspirational moment. Is that a fair assessment, or is that not?
Honestly, I don't know. I do think leaders certainly at times need to be intentional, but one of the points I make when I speak to people is that you are creating moments that matter and you're not even aware of it.
Tell us about that. I agree with that, so I want to hear your thoughts about it. Tell us why.
Well, I'll give you an example. When I was at West Point and the head of the department, it's graduation day, I'm up on the dais, and this young woman gets her diploma. She looked at me, and I knew her, and I gave her a thumbs up. Her father wrote me a letter and told me how much that meant to her. Just giving her a thumbs up.
Wow.
And so when somebody then takes the time to write you the letter to tell you how significant that was for this young woman, it really gives you pause. It's like, what else am I doing? Mm-hmm. And I remind leaders, you are watched all of the time, and if you think you're not, you're kidding yourself. And because the people you lead are always watching you. They want to make sure that you walk the talk and that you're doing the right thing for the right reasons. And so I think about that thumbs up, and I always joke, imagine if I had given her two thumbs up. But it's a reminder that what you do as a leader is important, and even the littlest thing can be important in somebody's life, and it really takes a little effort on your part. And I always remind people, when you're a leader, if you walk past somebody in the hallway and you ask them how they're doing, you better stop and wait for the answer.
Absolutely.
You don't just keep moving.
Yeah, you don't do a drive-by and never hear it, or email me how you're doing. No, that doesn't work,
right?
Does it?
Right, absolutely.
I know that, maybe we don't often think as leaders, we tend to forget that we were all children at one time. And the reality is, when we are children, all you got to do is watch a child, and they're taking in everything. They watch, observe. They know whether you're sincere or you're not sincere. And we forget that just because we're in a leadership position, that doesn't mean anything. People are looking at what you do, don't they?
Yes. They're looking not only at what you do, but what you don't do.
Well, I found it interesting that even when I asked you about Master of the Sword, you were very careful to talk about it as a title that goes with the position. So I want you to tell all of us, what does that mean? What does it mean I got the title and the position, and then how do I balance it? How do I make my leadership really fit the position? What would be your recommendations on that?
Well, I think, part of it, when you have certainly a title like that and you're at such a historic place like the United States Military Academy, you need to understand the history. You need to understand what that really means, and then respect the title, and that you're in that position and you represent something that certainly is bigger than you are. Mm-hmm. And every day we had a motto in the department called Set the Standard, Maintain the Standard. Mm-hmm. And that every day you're setting a standard. And then we wore a unique uniform in the Department of Physical Education, so it was very obvious if you were in the Department of Physical Education. And I would remind people that we all represented each other. It isn't Colonel so-and-so or Dr. so-and-so. It is the Department of Physical Education, and it's important. And I will say, being the Master of the Sword, it was humbling for me to hold that position. There were some wonderful men that held the position before I did, and certainly now two that have followed. And I was humbled to have that position. And I think when you are in a position and a leadership position like that, you can't allow the let it take over who you are, if you will,
right,
and become somebody who you aren't. You need to stay authentic and not allow some position and then some privileges that you get as a result of having that position cloud what you do. You need to continue to be who you were before you got to that position.
That's great advice.
And people get in trouble. You know, they get promoted and they get positions and they allow the power of the position to, I think, cloud their judgment.
Yeah, they tend to say, okay, now I'm in charge, you got to listen.
Right.
And in reality, you know, it doesn't do any of that. I mean, you have to earn that trust and respect the power that you do have. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and then it's also important to keep people around you who keep you humble. A good example, one day I walked in after work, and at the time, our daughter was a second grader. And, you know, I come in and it did not have a long commute. We lived on post. Probably a long commute would have been 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walk in. Of course, I'm in uniform. I ask about dinner. I ask about homework. I ask about science projects. I ask about lacrosse practice. And my daughter came up and looked at me with the innocence of a little seven-year-old. She looked at me and said, "Mommy, you need to remember that when you're home, you're not the master of the sword."
Oh, boy, that had to hurt.
I said, "You're right. I'm not, but I am Mommy, and so I'm still in charge." But it was just kind of, you know, it's like every so often you meet people around you, they're like, "Eh, nope."
No, I get it totally. You know, I think for me, Maureen, as a young man being put into leadership positions, I was really kind of uncomfortable because I looked at more of the responsibility of achieving the goals that the company had set as being really too important, more important than I valued the people. And I struggled early in my career with this idea of, you know, okay, you've got to respect other people's opinion. They don't have to listen to you just because you have the title. You've got to earn it. I struggled with all of that early in my career. But from your perspective, being in, certainly a much, much greater challenge being a female in a traditionally male-oriented organization, and you were put into these positions of responsibility. How did you really kind of coach yourself in terms of making the transitions to really value people and be genuine to yourself? Because I hear this is a problem for managers all the time. They say, I really can't be genuine. I've got to be somebody I'm not. And I keep trying to say, you have to be genuine. So how would you kind of coach them yourself in that regard?
Right. I look back at my career, and in the first platoon I led, I had 85 men. I had no women. And I think back to that, and certainly our young lieutenants that go in the Army today, they've had a lot of education around this thing called leadership and leadership development that we certainly never had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, personally, I relied a lot on how I had been a team captain. And then I had some wonderful non-commissioned officers who helped me.
Mm-hmm.
and coached me. And I sometimes wish I could go back with the knowledge I have now and get a do-over, because I'd be an awesome platoon leader now. But I think in one of the things when I talk to executives, I talk about this thing called the B. And it's really centers around the Army's leadership model, which is be, no, do. And the B is, who are you? Who are you? And one of the exercises I take executives through is I have them write down their top 10 values.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done this with a lot of executives. 95% of them have never, ever written down their values.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of it. You need to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of being that authentic leader. You know, there are people who, they don't care about people.
They don't.
It's not a strong suit.
Right.
And for me, it's really one of the things I do extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it is, okay, own that. It's okay, but how you need to change the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to take care of the people you lead. And so it's part of it is being aware of that and knowing that it's not a strength and that you need to work on it. It's kind of, you know, there'll be some people that would say, you know, when the women first went to the academy, I'm going to say men, and I just mean all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? I think you can change that behavior,
mm-hmm.
sir.
Mm-hmm.
So you can change it. You can't say that's just the way I am.
Agreed.
You need to, that's the way I am. I'm going to try to change it. If you're a leader and say, that's just the way I am, suck it up, probably not the most effective leader that you can be. And you're going to get out of your folks. You know, if you treat people well, your folks are going to take care of you. I worked for a general one time, and he would say, soldiers don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I think it's important that you do that. And one of the things that I did and we do in the military is when you're in charge of an organization, you write a command philosophy,
mm-hmm.
and it's the way you lead, or a leadership philosophy. And I did that before I took over the Department of Physical Education. And the very first piece of my leadership philosophy is care.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about caring for your family, the cadets, and each other. And when you share that with your folks, say, this is an expectation I have, this is how I lead, and this is what I expect of you, they understand you a bit better. But you can't get up and say, I don't care about people, or, you know, if you think you don't, you probably need to get out of this leadership business and find something else to do.
Well, I think it's even worse whenever you say you care and then you demonstrate that you don't. Because it creates even more damage within your leadership ability with that group. I'm one of the things I want to, if you don't mind, as you take leaders through values, values sometimes can be an esoteric term to young people. So give us, you know, maybe a few examples of values in terms of what they mean, or maybe some sample values that they could begin to think about once they're through listening to this podcast today. I'd like for them to start thinking of their own top 10 values. So what would be some words and some thoughts that you would recommend?
So I will, and when we do this, I actually give them a sheet of paper that's got personal values, social values, is kind of a way to prime the pump. And I would tell your listeners, Steve, that if you Google values, they're different, probably value sorts, if you will, that they can find online, or they can find a list of values.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll share the values that I have as a part of my leadership philosophy.
Well, that's what I really want to hear, because I think it's important for somebody that's already been successful, that's gone through this exercise, to share, you know, some of their values.
Right. So just listing them, it's care,
mm-hmm.
dignity and respect, development, managing change, diversity, pride, maintain a sense of humor, wellness, and appreciation.
Wow. Awesome. What a great way to live if you're living those values every single day.
Well, it's, you know, I think like a lot of us, I'm a work in progress. And I one of my sisters said to me a few weeks ago, she's one of those people that kind of, every so often she'll say something and it's like, oh, I needed to hear that. Mm-hmm. And she said, are you being the best version of yourself every day?
Wow. Yeah,
and that's
that.
A great thing if you start to do something or it's like, is this the best version of me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a nice little thing to have in the back of your mind if you're getting ready to do something or more times than not say something or engage in a conversation. Is this the best version of me?
I love that, and I know it works because if you simply, I happen to feel that exact same way, and the way that I challenge myself is to know that I just ask myself a question that, look, what was the best you ever did on this particular task or whatever you did? And if I did it really well, I'm telling you, I'm not happy if I give it less than my best. And I
right.
think we have to have that mindset in leadership because it is what often what we don't say and what we don't realize we showed that makes the biggest impact in our organization.
Well, and it's in one of the big things leaders do in an organization is create a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's talking to the culture. And this started for me a long time ago when I was a young officer. A general officer, the commanding general, left a cigarette butt with a date on it in a gutter somewhere. And a week later, he went by and it was still there. So we all heard about picking up litter on post. And that stuck with me. And so I started picking up litter. Didn't matter. I would pick it up and did this on, you know, through my career in the Army. And you know, if I saw somebody pass something, I'd say, excuse me, did you notice that on the ground? You know, you need to pick it up. We all need to be good stewards of our environment. And probably a year or so ago, a young girl in the neighborhood was doing a project, and she came over and interviewed me. And she said, how can you make a difference? And I talked to her about just walking around picking up litter. And about a week later, because her mother was with her when she was talking to me, and a week later I'm walking the dog and there's something in the street and I pick it up and somebody behind me said, you really do it, don't you? And I turned around. It was the mother. And for her to see me pick up the litter was like, she actually does this. She wasn't
awesome.
Just telling my daughter that. So you create a culture, and that's a little example, but leaders create the culture, and your folks are watching you all the time. And if you create a healthy culture in an environment, it can be a fun place to work, and people collaborate, and you have great success in your organization. So I think that's very important.
Absolutely. Maureen, I know that our listeners are really enjoying this. So if you don't mind, share with them the best way that they could reach out and connect with you.
Well, I will give you my email address,
okay,
which is my last name, which is LeBus, L-E-B as in Bravo, O-E-U-F as in Foxtrot, 76@gmail.com.
All right. Got that. And thank you for sharing that. And I want to recommend that if any of you do want to connect with Maureen and ask questions, or maybe you even want her to speak at your group, email her and connect with her. Maureen, I want to just tell you, on behalf of the Manager Mojo Show, you have made moments that matter today. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. It's been really wonderful. I've enjoyed getting to pick your brain a little bit and hear your thoughts on leadership.
Well, thank you, Steve, and thanks for what you do.
Well, I enjoy it, and I'm really thankful to have wonderful people like you that will share your wisdom. And on behalf of all of our listeners, we want to wish you continued success. I hope you and your sisters have an awesome trip next week. Enjoy each other. Have a wonderful time. And we hope you'll come back again one day soon.
I will. I look forward to it. Don't don't hesitate to give me a call.
Awesome. Thank you. Today, our guest has been Brigadier General retired Maureen LaBeouf, and she has been an amazing inspiration to us today. And thanks again for joining us on the Manager Mojo podcast.
You're more than welcome.
Thanks for being a part of the Manager Mojo audience. I really appreciate it, and I'd love to hear from you. Please let me know your suggestions by emailing me at steve@managermojo.com.